Good morning to each one of you. I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Could we kneel and have prayer together? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come and kneel before your presence, Lord. Your word says that we should bow and kneel before your presence, and this morning we do that. And Lord, we acknowledge we need your help. We need you to speak to us. We need you to minister to us, Lord. You have already this morning, and we thank you for that through song and through the brothers sharing, and we thank you. And we ask that you would continue to do this, speak to us the rest of this day, and as I share here and as we fellowship one with another, Lord, may we hear from you. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would move in our midst as we sing. Lord, we just cry out to you. We need you. We need you to move. We need you to work in our midst. Without you, we can do nothing, Father. And so, Lord, we commit this service into your hand and pray thy will be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a blessing to be here already. Making good choices, right decisions, not reacting. Thank you all for sharing. This morning, I guess, I just have a simple message, one verse that I feel led to share on is 2 Corinthians 9:15. It just simply says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And so sometimes I wonder if we grasp what Paul's trying to tell us when he calls it an unspeakable gift. Is the gift of salvation an unspeakable gift to you? The word unspeakable simply means inexpressible, unable to be told out. I'm sure we've all seen a child or someone who's so excited about something, they're trying to tell you, but they're so excited the words aren't coming. They're stuttering, they're stammering, and you have to tell a child, okay, settle down so you can tell me what, but they're so excited about it. And you know, that is unspeakable. That's an example of being something that's unspeakable. So you calm them down, and okay, now tell me, and then they can tell. But they're excited about something they've found. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Are you still excited about the gift of God to you? What is that unspeakable gift? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Adam and Eve, before the fall, they had eternal life. But after they ate of the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually. They'd have been very much alive, like you and I. We'd have looked on them and said, they're still alive, but something died. They died spiritually. And since then, every human being born into this world, including you and I, we have been born spiritually dead. We've been born spiritually dead. And that's why Jesus says in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. What is born of spirit is spirit, and what is born of flesh is flesh. And so we must be born of the Spirit. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift." Remember, we're talking about the gift this morning. James writes it this way. Paul calls it unspeakable gift. James says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Brother Stephen picked that first song yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning with God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And that gift is eternal life. It's a perfect gift for each one of us. It's the perfect gift for every human being. Ephesians 2:8, very familiar verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I've titled the message this morning, The Gift. So what are some possibilities Paul had in mind when he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? What are some scenarios that would be going through his mind? Paul knew the law, and he understood some things that we probably don't quite understand or grasp sometimes. If we go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, this is what Paul says. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul understood some things about the law, and he could claim that he was blameless. And so I just want to this morning take us through some of the law, maybe examples that Paul was possibly looking at and comparing to this unspeakable gift that made him express that this is really an unspeakable gift. He knew the law, and he understood some things we probably don't understand. So I'm going to just go through some Old Testament scenarios in the law and possibly see what Paul was seeing and comparing it to the gift. And the gift became unspeakable to him when he compared it to those things. And so the first one here that I want to look at, you have your Bibles, want to read along. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10. We'll start reading, and we'll read down through verse 16. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. So there was a fight. Things got a little bit heated here. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. So what often happens when something goes wrong, maybe two men are fighting, and I've seen this already. Curse words start flying, right? Or if something goes wrong on the job site, curse words start flying. And so that's exactly what happened here. They got into a fight, and this guy was worked up, and there's some curse words. He used the name of God in vain. We hear that a lot today among as we're intermingling with the society. We see the name of God taken in vain. So they were in a fight here, and he cursed. And they put him in ward, that is, in prison, for doing this thing, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall he be put to death. Let's jump down to verse 23. And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. And so as we compare, look at this man here, he's using God's name in vain as a curse word. And this is before the unspeakable gift. There was no second chance. There was no second opportunity for this man. It was done. But today we live in the time that we have the unspeakable gift, and judgment is still waiting. Judgment was imminent here in this man. But we live in the time of the unspeakable gift. And in Hebrews 10:28, it says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. There was no second opportunity. And so today, I just want to point out that we live in a very precious time, but it's also, we don't grasp the things that I believe Paul grasped. He was in the law. He knew the law. And yet he understood how precious this gift was. And we take it for granted. My question is, if this would still, what I just read here, if we'd still be living in this time frame, how many of us in this room would be alive? How many of us in this room would still be alive if this was still applicable, if it would not be for the unspeakable gift? Probably very few of us, including myself. You know, Jesus did say we will give an account for every idle word. Hebrews 2 asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We will not escape. This man didn't escape, but you're living in a time where the unspeakable gift, and it's God's mercy. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard said of old time, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So, see, it wasn't the time of the... And so, there was a recompense given immediately. And so, it's important that we understand what gift we have, the unspeakable gift. Another possibility Paul had in mind might be in Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 to 36. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward. Again, they put him in prison, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died. And the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so we look at that maybe as a trivial thing, gathering sticks out here in the Sabbath day. But we have to remember, they were living in another time. We live in the time where we have the unspeakable gift. We as a congregation, someone sees this man doing this, and it says the whole congregation would have to gathered around him to help throw the stones. That would bring some fear within all of us, I would think. And see, and as Paul was thinking about the unspeakable gift, I believe he realized he knew the law, he knew these things, and he realized how precious that gift was. And so this man was breaking the Sabbath, disobedience was dealt with immediately. And gathering up sticks to us would look like a trivial thing. Our children do it every Sunday, playing with sticks out there under the trees. We don't, but what we're missing here, there was no reverence. This man had no reverence when he was around others who were worshiping the Lord, treating the time as common. And he was disobeying what God had commanded. There was no second chance for this man. He wasn't living in the time of the unspeakable gift. Another one that I want to look at, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 6 through 11. Says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thy as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. So here, stop here. It's your blood brother. So if Calvin here and Marlon, and one of them, and Marlon entices him to do something, to go serve another god, he's not even to have pity on his own brother. I'm sure your two brothers love each other, right? Or if your own son, Reuben, your own son, Eric, it says, or thy daughter, Owen, your own daughter, Mariah, or your own wife, it says. And so there was no partiality at all. Or your friend, your closest friend, which is thine own soul, it says. If they entice you to do something that will cause them to go astray and serve other gods, namely of the gods of the people which are around about you. And you know, we're surrounded with gods all around us that people claim they're serving gods, but they're actually serving other gods. It's all around us, in the sports world, in the music world. People are enticing the people to serve other gods in the name of Jesus Christ. Namely, of the gods of the people which are around about you, nigh unto thee, or afar off. You know, it's all around, afar off, close to us. From the one end of the earth, even unto the end of the other. It says, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. You're not supposed to hide for him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine own hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. Your own hand, as a parent or a brother, your own hands is the one to throw the first stone up on your own daughter that's enticing you. And they live, I can't imagine living in that time. Your closest friend, who's your closest friend? Imagine if he entices you, you're the one that is to put your own hand first up on him, it says. And afterwards the hand of all the people, and thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. And so did Paul have this in mind when he said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Did he have this in mind? No one's excluded here in this one. So when Paul thinks of this scenario, did he ever witness this scenario? He possibly did. We're going to see that it was still happening in the day of Jesus a little bit later. And Jesus stepped into the scene. And so I could almost say that Paul probably witnessed some of this. Well, he did. He helped with Stephen. They accused him of blasphemy. He did. He witnessed it. And so he could say, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Deuteronomy chapter 17, another account. Verses 1 through 7. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. If there be found among you with any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath brought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wickedness, wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy to be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. So we see here in verse 1 that the offering that they were going to bring to God had to be pure. There's only one type of worship that's acceptable. We cannot mix things here. It had to be one that... There was no blemish, or any evil favoredness, it says, for that is an abomination. We live in society today where many try to make many ways to the Lord. And the Bible's clear, there is only one way. Jesus said in John chapter 10, if any man try to come to me in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. He's a thief and a robber. And so we need to... And so here, there's only one offering acceptable, and that's a pure and clean heart in God's way and design as the scripture teaches. There is no other way. And so, and there was no mercy here. They're serving other gods. Is this an example Paul is looking at when he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 through 21. Another example. Verse 18. It says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him and will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he dies. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Notice there, very, this is, I just can't imagine that situation, being put in that situation as a father. But it's, but this was real. Judgment was imminent. There was no mercy. In the old covenant, judgment was dealt imminent. We live in a time where God is long-suffering. We heard this morning the fruit of the Spirit and how God is long-suffering today. But there is a time coming that judgment will come. But we live in the time of the unspeakable gift. And so... let's be careful what we do with that unspeakable gift. As As I think of this passage that I just read, if it wouldn't be for the unspeakable gift, I wouldn't be here today. My parents would have brought me before the elders to be stoned. But just because we have the unspeakable gift doesn't mean we can be rebellious. Judgment will still come. But because of the unspeakable gift, God is being merciful. Joshua chapter 7, another incident here. Verses 24 and 5, Joshua chapter 7. This is the account of Achan here. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. So here again we have an account where sin was dealt with immediately. And so the law was very unforgiving. And Paul knew that. And I brought up all these accounts to show us how great of a gift we actually have in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have an unspeakable gift. The Apostle Paul was very well versed in the law and understood these accounts that I read. In fact, it says in Philippians, he says he was blameless concerning the law. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel and was taught, and that's why he could say, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Now, turn with me to John chapter 8. I just read all these accounts here of what happened when somebody was found in sin, and it was still taking place in the days of Jesus Christ, and Jesus found himself in the midst of such a situation of these scenarios that I just read in the Old Covenant. It says in verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, so Jesus is in the temple teaching the people here. And it says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. So picture Jesus up here in front of this crowd teaching. And all of a sudden you see a group of people, scribes and Pharisees, bringing a woman in. And they set her in his midst. They put her right in the midst. They say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." They were doing what we just read here, these scenarios back here in the Old Covenant. They were going to fulfill that very act. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" And here we could, you know, this woman could say, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." The unspeakable gift stepped in. This they said, tempting him. Notice there, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. We just read all those accounts. Moses commanded us. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none, but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And see, there's what the unspeakable gift does. He's not going to condemn us, but he is going to tell us, Go and sin no more. It's a beautiful picture there of what we just read in the Old Covenant, and we see it unfolding here, and now we see the unspeakable gift at work. We have the unspeakable gift himself intervening. James 2:13 says, Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. The question is to you and I, is that good and perfect gift from the Father of lights an unspeakable gift to you and I, to the point, as Paul could say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Or is it just something we treat as common, as the Israelites there did, where they brought their blemished sheep and they brought their blemished oxen and did not give their all, did not give their best. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And so those things that are dear to us, that are not pleasing to God, we need to count them as dung, like Paul, if we're going to find that gift unspeakable. As long as we're hanging on to things of this life, we're not going to find Christ as an unspeakable gift. We're not going to, until we, those things that we're hanging on to, we count them as a pile of manure. Dung is manure. We're not going to find him as an unspeakable gift to us. And so Paul, he counted everything loss that he may win Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews often refers to back to the old covenant. And here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. Makes reference to some of those incidents that I just read in the Old Covenant. Verse 28, it says, He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We just read that earlier. Look at the next verse. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So we look at that, those scenarios that I just read in the Old Covenant, as awful, and they are. But according to the book of Hebrews, it's going to be way worse for us who have done despite unto the unspeakable gift. Notice there, it says, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, the unspeakable gift, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. If you think those men throwing stones at a person was awful, what's it going to be like when God pours out his vengeance? He says, Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, you know, back then, the old covenant, and every transgression and disobedience, those that I just read about the old covenant, received a just recompense of reward, it asks us a question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And it doesn't answer the question. I don't believe there is an escape route. The escape route is repentance. The escape route is walking in obedience. It refers back to those incidents that I just read. Every word spoken by angels was steadfast. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. They were stoned. They were... And then it asks, how shall we escape? We have that unspeakable gift. How am I going to escape? I'm not going to. There is a day coming that mercy will run out, and for those who neglect so great a salvation. I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah 55 and get his perspective on that unspeakable gift. Isaiah 55. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Isaiah. He says, ho! You know, he's calling out, ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine, milk, without money, without price. It's not going to take money. The millionaire and the pauper are on the same level. To participate in this unspeakable gift. You know, wine and milk are things that value, especially back in those days, probably more so than our day, but wine and milk were things of value. And he says, come ye, buy, eat, yea, come buy wine, milk, without money, without price. And he's prophesying here of this unspeakable gift when he writes this chapter. Then he asks a question, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, many people today profess Christ, but they're spending money on things that don't satisfy. It's like they're bringing those offerings, those blemished goats, and those blemished oxen, those blemished sheep. It's not the real thing. And so he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor that which satisfieth not? There is a bread that this world says is Christianity today, but it's not the bread that satisfies. It's another bread that lets you hungry. Notice it says it satisfieth not. He says, hearken unto diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good. You know, there's a good one, there's a bad one. And then it says, let your soul delight itself in its fatness. Let your soul delight in this, the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread sent from heaven. I am the bread of life. And so that is the only bread that's going to satisfy. This world mixes other things with that bread and tries to make it appear good, glamorous, and glorious, but it's empty. It doesn't satisfy. Then he goes on to say, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Then he says, behold, I have given him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ, the unspeakable gift. And then he says, verse 5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, he says. He says you should seek him while he's near, while he may be found. You know, you're not going to experience the stonings today like we just read about, but there is a time coming that you will face the judgment of God. And so it's important that we seek him while he may be found. It's going to be too late to seek God when your body's lying 6 feet under the ground. It's going to be too late to call upon him when your body's lying in that casket. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, he's not going to be near to you once your last breath is taken. Then he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, for he will abundantly pardon. So here we see that unspeakable gift. He will abundantly pardon, not just a little bit, abundantly. Then he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All my life, as a little boy, I grew up hearing verse 8 and 9. But after I got converted, you know, they would refer to how God's ways are so much higher than ours and his thoughts so much higher than ours. But when I got converted and read verse 7, this is in the context of how God wants to forgive my sins, that unspeakable gift. That's the context. People have the mindset, well, God can't forgive me. God can't, I've done too many bad things. There's no way. It's impossible. But this is in the context that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways higher than our ways, as the heaven is the earth. You know, God wants to forgive you that much. He wants to forgive you so much that it just, read that and put that together, just like my heart just leaped for joy that God wants. That's the context of those scriptures. Yeah, we know God's ways and his thoughts are higher, but that's the context of those scriptures regarding my sin and the unspeakable gift. That's the context of those scriptures. Abundantly pardon, he says. Abundantly. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So that verse says that his word will not return unto me void. We go to 2 Corinthians there. Paul says, thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph. And I should just turn there. I can find it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, now thanks be unto God, verse 14, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, to maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Then he says, for we are, what I want to bring out here, God says his word will accomplish that which pleases him. It will not return unto him void. And so Paul's saying here, now thanks be unto God which causes us to triumph. What causes him to triumph? That he's able to make manifest the savour of his knowledge by in every place. He's preaching Christ. That's what causes him to triumph. The only way you can't triumph is to be quiet about it. Then he says, for we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savour of death unto death, and to the other a savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And so what he's saying here, God is, whether you preach, whether someone accepts Jesus Christ or rejects it, it's accomplishing what God pleases. So on the day of judgment, the person who rejects it, you know, it's going to be a testimony against them. You know, Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, I sent you wise men, I sent you wise prophets, and you rejected them. And he says that, and the scripture says that every mouth is going to be stopped. So if you reject the word of God, your mouth is going to be stopped because someone has shared with you and you rejected. To the one, you're the one who accepts Christ is a savor of life unto life. The other is a savor of death unto death. The word, it's going to accomplish that which I please. On the day of judgment, the lost person, I believe, is going to be without excuse. His mouth is going to be stopped. God can point back to so-and-so place. I sent you wise men. I sent you preachers, and you rejected it. And they will remember it. It will accomplish that which you please, whether you preach to a person that never gets saved or a person that will. It's going to accomplish that which pleases God. Romans says every mouth will be stopped and the whole world will become guilty before God. And so I encourage you today to bow yourself here and let God declare you guilty here before you stand on the day of judgment and be declared guilty. When the sinner repents and repents of his sins and bows his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, he lets God declare him guilty right here. Whether you think you are or not, we're all guilty. We need to agree with what God says. I am guilty. I violated your word, your commandments. And Father, forgive me. Abundantly pardon me, he says. He will abundantly pardon. Verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Here we see a changed life because of the unspeakable gift. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And so God's desire is that we would see how precious a gift we have been entrusted with today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And so he has delivered us from so great a death. So can we say with Paul today, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. If that gift's not unspeakable to you, then I encourage you, repent. God is wanting to abundantly pardon you. So, God bless you all. Thank you for listening.